For Sunday, June 30th, 2019, welcome to Our Redeemer's Lutheran Church in Helena, Montana. We are a member church of the ELCA, and today begins the time after Pentecost, the season after Pentecost. So it's summer here, and we are going to start off summer with a sermon by Pastor Arnie Berglund from Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. Let's listen in.
When the days drew near for him to be taken up, Jesus began to walk towards Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and he rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to them, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of our Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you. From God our Creator, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. As Jesus began to make his way towards Jerusalem, he sent out his advance team, who came to a Samaritan village to prepare for Jesus' arrival. Scripture reminds us, but the people there did not welcome him, either because they rejected Jesus, or maybe it was because Samaritans had the habit of rejecting just about any stranger who came to town. Personally, I believe it was because Jesus was just passing through. But the disciples, James and John, angry with the Samaritan, exploded in rage, thinking they had much more power than they had, asking if they should send down holy fire on the Samaritans. Jesus rebuked his disciples who had tried to defend him. Now here's the thing. Some ancient manuscripts of the New Testament insert an extra verse here, kind of a conclusion to this little story from the Gospel of Luke. Some of those texts say, "And Jesus said to them, 'You do not know what kind of spirit you are, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.'" Now, if those words don't actually reflect what Jesus said, I think they reflect what Jesus means. "I did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." James and John, they were really ticked off at the hospitality of the Samaritans. They gave in to that very human temptation to think that God blesses me, God blesses us, but not them. God blesses the people that are like me, but not the ones who are different from me. These zealous disciples transformed the good news of God's unconditional and limitless love for all people into the bad news that God somehow had it in for them. The good news belonged to the disciples. The bad news was for everybody else. But you see, that's just not true. The story of Jesus is good news for everyone, not just believers. And in fact, it is good news especially for those who have trouble believing it. The only thing that matters, wrote Paul in our second lesson today, the only thing that matters is faith expressed in love. You can summarize the entire Bible, he insisted, in these five words: love your neighbor as yourself. To the Corinthians, he wrote that the greatest gift of all from God is love, without which we are nothing, without which we are but an irritation and a nuisance. And writing to his friends in Rome, Paul urged his believers not to owe anything to anyone except the continual debt to love one another. For he who has loved his neighbor, he wrote, has fulfilled the law. So demonstrating divine favor to everyone rather than denying it to anyone makes true the claim that God is love. For you see, both Jesus and Paul, divine love made human, was the only thing, the entire thing, the greatest thing. The additional verse that some added to Luke may not be authentic, but the voice behind their tradition is absolutely original. The Son of Man did not come to destroy lives, but to save them. Now, when James and John complain about those people, about the Samaritans, Jesus got a little sharp with them. He rebuked them for their misunderstanding the gospel, and then he moved on. They do what Jesus had taught them to do earlier: knock the dust from your feet and move on. Luke continues narrating the journey by telling us something about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. One person steps up to Jesus and proclaims, "I'll go anywhere with you." That person didn't really know what he was saying, and so Jesus let him know something of the consequences of such a promise to follow. Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to call home. Following Jesus is not necessarily an easy thing. Well, give me a minute to think about that. I'm not sure I can leave my home to go with a man who has no place to lay his head. I'd like to follow, but I also like the comforts of home. Discipleship has a cost. Well, Jesus moves on. He calls someone else along the way to come with him, but the man replies, "Lord, let me wait until I can bury my father." Now, you understand that tradition at the time dictated the importance of a proper burial for your loved one. A funeral was to be held absolutely within 48 hours of death, without question. Jesus knew how long this burial of the father could take. He knew how important the tradition was, and he knew he did not have enough time to let himself wait for this man to make excuses. Jesus isn't about being cruel when he responds, "Let the dead carry the dead." His mission to proclaim the kingdom of God was just that urgent. There is a cost to discipleship. Jesus is warning of the radical demands of discipleship. So we might ask, what does he want from me? Jesus moves on to a third person who says, "I want to go with you, Lord, but first let me go and take care of some things at home. Let me say goodbye." Now, Jesus must have felt a deep sorrow for those would-be followers. And he responds, "Anyone who starts a job and keeps looking back isn't worth a thing in God's kingdom." Now, I've never been behind a horse-drawn plow, but I've been told that plowshares are slanted in just a way to dig a straight furrow in the earth for planting. And if you don't hold the earth, the plow handles even and guide the horse straight, you can actually be pulled across the plow in an instant and do a face plant into the earth. Also, you can't plant straight if you don't keep your eyes on the rose and the horse. In other words, you're not worth a darn as a farmer if you don't know how to do the job. You're not worth much in God's kingdom if you keep having excuses for not following when Jesus calls. Story is told of the Civil War general George Stedman, who was addressing his Confederate troops just before the bloody Battle of Bull Run. General Stedman apparently had a premonition as to how things might turn out that day. And so he told his soldiers this. He said, "Gentlemen, I want you to fight vigorously and then run for your life. And as I'm a bit lame, I'm going to get started now." Jesus was addressing his followers just before his death. Jesus knew the ones who were making excuses about following him into Jerusalem. He knew that there were those who were already running away. But Jesus did not take that head start the way General Stedman did. Rather, he set his face towards Jerusalem, knowing that that battle was not going to go in his favor. He didn't hide, and his enemies didn't have to work hard to find him. No, he rode into Jerusalem, ready or not, here he comes. The miracle for all of us is that he still comes for us. He accepts you and me just as we are. And he calls us forth to be all that God would have us be. So our responsibility is to stop making excuses, to stop running away, to hide, and to follow. That's the call, to come and follow me. That's the way to the abundant life and the promise that God has for us. The most important thing that our faith calls us to cling to, the most important way that we can follow Jesus Christ, is to love one another, to cling to the idea that God has acted for us, that the victory has been won, and we can hold to that certain hope in the midst of all the messes that remain. And as God's disciples, as Jesus' disciples, we can stop making excuses and finish what he came to do, to proclaim the kingdom of God, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen.